Hey, everyone, if you haven't yet, be sure to go to podsurvey.com to take a quick survey to help us get some advertisers and to help us keep this podcast free. That's podsurvey.com/last. Really helps us out a lot. We appreciate every single one of you.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast
on the left.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Fucking
that's
hate
the thing.
That song.
Haters wanna hate, because they
I
do
hate her so much.
I've never heard that song.
Nothing
never
more
heard
in my
that
life.
Song?
No,
it's just like I wanted the Taylor Swift experience in New York. I wanted her to come to New York, and I just so desperately wanted a homeless man to come on her shoes. Like, you mean to tell me she came to New York? She didn't get the experience.
No, not yet.
Mm-hmm. You know how many men I've had masturbate at me?
I've had one.
I've had at least 5 or 6. Men masturbating on at me, like pulling their dick out. They told me the guy who's dressed as the French sailor. I was it was like 6 o'clock in the morning. I was going to my inventory job at Borders at fucking. It was horrible. Well, so I was going into the train at 6:30 in the morning, and so this fucking French looking homeless guy with like a dirty sailor hat on and like that great old homeless man 5 o'clock shadow, mm-hmm. where it's like mostly a beard. It's like, when did he shave?
Right.
You know, like, he never shaved. And so he came up to me at 6:30 in the morning. I'm miserable waiting to go to work. And he just pulls his dick out and pisses all over the seat. That is a New York experience. Right. That should have happened to Taylor Swift.
I feel like that's just you in the future meeting you in the present. And you're just like, we should have never met.
Oh, shit. Technically, we've broken the time continuum. There's going to be Dr. Brown. Doc Brown.
Are we ready to go, Marcus?
Yes, we are.
Welcome to the show, everyone. That's Marcus Parks. I'm Ben Kissel.
I'm Henry Zebrowski, 75 years in the future.
Get it closer. Come closer. I used to do a thing called podcast. You got your hologram hats. Everybody's got holograms. Mm-hmm. I used to do it for the radio. It was for the radio. You got a burrito to spare. You got a lizard finger. Despair for a man who was a radio comedian for up to 4 years.
Wow.
Before he got addicted to straight up grain alcohol.
Oh my God, I could go for some grain alcohol right
Making
now.
Making toilet wine for my neighbors. They didn't want it.
No, they didn't, huh?
Too bad, because what they didn't know is that toilet and wine was just a funny term I used for pee pee.
Oh yeah, well that makes sense. I was on the subway with Eddie yesterday.
Like, hope you like it white, because I've been drinking lots of water.
Ooh, that's good. That means you're healthy. Mm. I was on the subway with Eddie yesterday, and there was a homeless fella, and he asked for some food, and sure enough, Eddie had some shrimp scampi. Ed from the Round Table of Gentlemen.
Where do you have shrimp scampi?
Eddie always has shrimp scampi on him.
Well, good to know. At least if I'm ever at the Olive Garden and the chef runs out, I could be like, here we go. We've got your hero here. Here's your Spider-Man.
Perfect. Happy New Year, everybody.
Yeah. 2014 was good for some. For others, it was a tragedy.
Mostly terrible. On this episode, we're going to run down some of the worst events of 2014.
First thing I want to bring up in
2014. Or the best events, I guess.
Well, it's a year in murder and mayhem. Let's say that. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. A little thing that everyone conveniently forgot about is, where's this fucking plane?
Where is the plane, America?
Where did the plane go?
Think about it.
We are the only people still answering the question. They are so happy people stopped answering the question, because now they don't have to talk about fucking Freescale, the energy company employees that were on there that were possibly murdered to cover up an energy weapon, or the fact that plane is now sitting on a MetLife fucking U.S. airbase in the middle of the Indian Ocean, and maybe those people are having the best times of their lives, and we wouldn't even know.
Or they're just human cabbage that fish are eating. Who knows? But if you don't ask the questions, you don't get the answers.
Yeah, I imagine that Nemo is living in the captain's fucking ribs.
Eyeball, yeah, exactly. Oh, this is great. If I make enough money, honey, I swear to God we can go to his rectum in a year.
So today we're not going to be covering the gigantic stories. Like, we're not going to be covering Aaron Rodgers. We're not going to be covering Elliot.
Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback for the Green Bay Packers.
Ah, that's right. Elliot Rodgers. We're not going to be covering the beheadings or anything like that. You know about that. Right. You've heard about all that stuff. We're going to be covering
some fun
news stories, some of the lesser known news stories. I'm sure a lot of you have heard about this because you're followers of the macabre. Mm-hmm. And a lot of this stuff was posted on the Facebook groups throughout the year. Thank all of you for all the wonderful stories that you posted on the Facebook group throughout 2014.
Oh my, if you could archive the Facebook group from 2014, that should go in the Smithsonian. I mean, it's just full of lunacy.
What I love is the wisdom I learn every time I go on to the last podcast page. Right. The people there, it's great. My favorite is that I think Lupe started it. That cat that looks like it's crying. That meme with the cat.
I love the cat that looks like it's crying.
It's very funny.
Very sad. Well, let's start in January.
Yeah, let's start in January.
Talk rich father time.
You have a time machine. You just want to go back 1 year. You want just 12 months from right now.
I mean,
you can go anywhere in history, anytime.
Let's just say I'm really afraid of like sitting on a really important squirrel somewhere.
Okay. I don't need to change the whole time continuum, and all of a sudden we're worshiping bread.
Well, I think we do worship bread now. Think about it.
Oh yeah.
Ooh.
High carb.
So we're going to start in January with a botched execution. Let's have a tiny little factoid about botched executions in the United States from 1890 to 2010. The rate of botched lethal injections was 7.1% higher than any other form of executions. The electric chair was 1.9%. Hanging was at 3.1%. The gas chamber was at 5.1%. Firing squads, however... 0%. 100% effective.
Right. I am shocked that the highest percent of messing up is with the hanging.
No. The highest is lethal injection.
Oh, okay.
Hanging is 3.1. Hanging is third place.
That's really hard because it's like just in case, you know, you never know when you're on your way to the execution. You think you're grabbing your hanging rope, but instead you're grabbing like one of the drapey things that you pull that have the curtain, the vertical slats that go up and down. Mm-hmm. That's always a problem because that snaps and everyone has a really like, oh, that is funny. Yeah. He almost died, but he's fine. And then they should pop him in the back of the head.
Yeah.
Or you grab your wedding tie and the next thing you know, you just got the guy looking like he's ready to go to a ball.
But isn't a wedding tie more of a noose than anything else?
Think about it. Think about that. Maybe the guy turned out to be 3 inches taller than you thought he was. And he just lands right there on his 2 feet.
That's a big problem with hangings. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We'll do an episode on famous executioners in the future. Good old Jack Ketch.
These guys keep forgetting about the shins to the feet.
Right.
They gotta know. Like, listen, yes, I know. They're like, how big is the neck? Everybody's talking about how thick is this neck? How much rope are we looking at? But they don't think about, like, this man's got legs.
Right. Right. I mean, do you chop the legs off or do you dig a ditch?
Well, what actually happens with so the lethal injection thing, the reason why that is the most prevalent in being botched is because they have problems with the drugs, right?
It's a cocktail of drugs.
But they went, well, I'm sure we'll talk about it. Mm-hmm. They used to get the high price, the good drugs, the good heroin, the good smack, but they decided to cut back and they went to the off-brand.
Well, it wasn't necessarily that they cut back. It was, there was
a company. Are we seriously getting this stuff at like fucking CVS?
Swear to God, they're getting the Dwayne Reed brand toilet paper.
We've been getting it from the Dutch. There's a Dutch company that manufactured these lethal injection drugs that we've been using for years and years, but they suddenly decided to stop selling it to the United States. Mm-hmm. And
it turns out in the United States, they're only executing innocent people. So we're going to stop selling to them right now.
Yep. And they also, the supplies of it are running extremely low. So we started using alternative forms of execution, we'll get into that in a little bit. But let's
like lime juice, margarita. Rita mix, all this stuff. It's like basically anything from a Jimmy Buffett restaurant. They're just starting to get there. They're like, well, it's old.
Yeah. Or just stuff left over from a holiday party. Right. Either one.
They're looking through the chemicals like a kid looked through the refrigerator in a Sunny D commercial. Like, well, we got some orange stuff in here. There's some purple drink. We'll try the purple drink then.
I hate to say this, sir, but that is a straight up grape flavored drink. That's not poison at all.
Well, just drink it
then.
Well, turns out we just
I wish I had some Sunny Delight.
Well, either way, it's not going to be good for them. Put it in the veins. So the there were a couple of them this year. The first one's this guy in Ohio's name was Dennis McGuire. It took over 25 minutes for him to die. His lawyer's very upset. They say that this violates, I believe, the 13th Amendment. Not the 13th. Maybe that was the one that freed the slaves. I don't know.
Hey,
I'm not President Obama. I'm not
here.
A constitutional lawyer here. But it's the one that says that we can dole out cruel and unusual punishment.
Yeah.
So this guy, Dennis McGuire, raped and killed a pregnant woman in 1989. His lawyer, one unidentified witness said that he gasped deeply. There was a kind of rattling guttural sound. Then there was a kind of snorting.
What they're talking about is literally the noises I make when I'm eating spare ribs alone in my apartment.
Right.
Yeah. Except you, instead of hearing the sounds of like people watching a lethal execution, you hear the sounds of me watching Adventure Time.
Oh, yeah. Great show.
So Ohio officials, they chose to use, instead of the Danish drug that we can no longer get a hold of, they chose to use a sedative midazolam. And midazolam!
Yeah, midazolam definitely sounds like a drug you take before you go to an all-night EDM party. Gotta get that midazolam.
It sounds like a magic word.
Especially, yeah, because you could also immediately just start calling it Dazzle.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like immediately just be like, oh, yeah, man, hey. I just need about 8 ball of Dazzle, man.
I just gave you $3,000 worth of Dazzle. Where's my money, dude?
Oh, sorry, man. It just ran out on me, man. So I had to use it to kill 10 rapists this morning, man.
And they used that in connection with a drug called, a painkiller called hydromorphine.
Cool.
So it's, what it is they just, they sedate them first, and then they give them an overdose of painkillers.
Right.
This did not work, and Berkeley University's Megan McCracken, who advises lawyers that are challenging lethal injection practices, she said, quote, at the very least, we can say this execution did not proceed as planned.
I mean, that's because they gave this guy the Janis Joplin. You can't just feed these people drugs that rock stars were doing in the 60s.
The other problem, too, is I mean, you know, he kind of deserved it. You know,
well,
like, he kind of got what he deserved. You can't say it all the time, but if he fucking raped a pregnant woman, he kind of got it.
This
killed
is
and
why
raped, yes.
The government shouldn't be allowed to put people to death and should have zero power in everything because they can't even murder. They don't have the ability to kill.
No, we know how to murder, but the problem is that when you ask them to do it all nice and cuddly, that's when they have the problems. It's that if we needed to just straight fucking kill this guy, we wouldn't see him again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
We should just do it what we did to Osama bin Laden, because Osama bin Laden barely even know he died.
Because maybe he's still fucking alive.
Or, again, he is fish food in the bottom of the ocean.
2014.
He's an aquarium. He's an aquarium for somebody.
The other botched execution happened in April. This guy Clayton Darrell Lockett, he didn't even die from the lethal injection itself. He had a heart attack.
Right.
He was administered an untested mixture of drugs that had never been used before for executions. He died 43 minutes after being sedated. After he was declared unconscious, he raised his head and he said, "Oh man, I'm not." And then he also said,
Something's wrong. Yeah, way wrong. We talked about this on Top Hat.
Yeah, we did.
The joke was about how it's a terrible execution if you die of natural causes. I mean, he died of a heart attack.
Yeah, they gave him a lethal injection, and then he got hit by a bus outside of the fucking prison.
It's like, how the hell does that happen? How did he die? Old age. Old age took him. Yeah, father time. You can't stop that.
His crimes in 1999, he kidnapped and shot Stephanie Neiman, a 19-year-old high school graduate, and a friend of his other victims and a witness to his crimes. He beat her and used duct tape to bind her hands and cover her mouth. Even after being kidnapped and driven to a dusty county road, Neiman did not back down when Lockett asked if she planned to contact the police. After she stated she would go to the police as soon as he let her go.
Which is really cool as shit. But I mean, like, when it comes down to it, you're like, no, fuck you, no! I ain't calling the goddamn police. Of course I'm calling the police. You better kill me! You better kill me! That's my problem.
Yeah.
I'll start in the you better kill me monologue.
Yeah.
And then I'll get murdered.
Yeah. Yeah. I just feel like sometimes teach your kids to lie.
Yeah.
This is one of those situations.
What they have to learn is the old healing power of comedy.
Yeah. Right.
Just start making this guy laugh. Chuck Lorne's like, oh, maybe I got to keep this guy around a little longer. This guy's a fucking barrel of laughs. Look at this guy. All of a sudden, you're drinking together. Next thing you know, you're godfather to his fucking son.
So you want you recommend doing what Bart Simpson did with Sideshow Bob to survive on the boat.
Sing the HMS Pinafore.
Yes. Right. Okay. Good.
Well, it didn't work out for Lockett. She was buried alive.
Ooh, that's one of the worst.
That is my worst fear. That for me is the worst death, is being buried alive.
Yeah, it's a rough one.
Yeah. Lockett ordered an accomplice to bury her while she was still breathing.
I don't know how you get buried alive. I would not be buried alive. I would be shot. Well, because if you started laying me down and be like, all right, now lay there still, I'd just be like, look at me twisting. I'm twisting. I'm digging up all the dirt. How's that dirt going to get solid if I'm too busy twisting?
I love that this guy had an accomplice doing it. Like, he's just a small business owner. You know, he's just a small businessman getting his employees to do all the work for him.
He's making jobs.
Right.
For others. And like most jobs these days, it's like an internship. It's an unpaid internship. Right. It's about getting your foot in the door.
Mm-hmm. Well, she actually didn't die from being buried alive. She died from the two shotgun wounds that Lockett had given her before the suffocation.
Oh,
got
so
her.
She was barely buried alive.
Yeah.
It was more just the intense worst fear you could possibly have, dying with
the buildup is
rough. The buildup is
really
rough.
And that's actually going to be a great new show coming to True TV, Barely Buried Alive.
And it's just like me in a tub covered in blankets.
Yeah, but your head's still exposed, so... You are barely buried alive.
Thank you. Where's my money?
Well, they also used the drug midazolam. They used Dazzle in this one as well. And one expert testified in this Florida case that instead of sedating, some patients turn extremely violent when given midazolam.
Oh, great.
Oh, perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but then the best part is that when they freak out right before they start attacking everybody, you got all these cops with guns. And right. Firing squads are 100% effective.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Let's go back to the firing squad.
Well, Jesus. If we've learned anything this year, cops can use those guns very well.
Ferguson, 2014.
Think about it.
So they used it in conjunction. They used midazolam with potassium chloride, and that causes severe pain unless it's used with an anesthetic. But when
I also think it makes Twinkies yellow.
Yes. Makes them last quite a while.
And, of course, they should have consulted an anesthesiologist, somebody who is versed in the ways of pharmacology, but they didn't consult any doctors.
What, did he just get, like, a guy named Spider? Yeah, I mean, like, backstage, he's like, yeah, it should be enough. You know, the thing is that it killed my dog, so... It should maybe kill him. We'll probably use twice as much as we used to kill my dog with it.
Well, right. Speaking of dogs, this cocktail was deemed too painful for use in dogs.
Well, yeah, of course.
Jesus Christ.
Dogs are beloved in this country.
They are. So it's just a corrections officer doing this? These glorified wait staff for white trash?
It's the executioner.
Right.
Yeah. So, they've got special executioners.
And by the way, they need to go back to wearing the hoods.
Yeah.
I hate this naked-faced executioner bullshit.
Yeah.
It's like when Kiss took off the makeup and you just realized they're a bunch of ugly Jewish dudes.
Yeah, when they wanted to be acoustic.
Yeah.
That was a rough sigh. Yeah, I'm sick of these acoustic fucking executioners. We need some heavy metal executioners. He should be sitting there with a fucking skull's head on and like a gauntlets
right.
And like long drapey black all over him. And he's just like, prepare to see the end of your fate.
Right. Exactly. He's got a guitar / a sickle in his hand. Just fucking beheads the dude.
I'll be fucking sweet as shit.
That'd be awesome.
Well, it's unclear how much this cocktail of drugs actually entered his system, because the vein that they used collapsed while they were administering, and the vein they chose, this is a weird one, they used a vein in his groin area, and a cloth was put over his groin to prevent witnesses from seeing said groin area.
I do feel like it is inappropriate that if you're already going to administer a lethal injection to a man, do you really got to do it through the head of his cock?
I mean, you know, it's tough to say. But I like the idea that these people who are going to watch a man die would be totally disgusted if you looked at it. But look at his penis. Oh, my God. We just went to see a murder. See, I didn't know it was going to be so trashy.
The father of the daughter, I'd be standing and be like, I want to see his cock. I want to see it go straight into his goddamn cock. Let me do it. Let me do it.
Well, that was January. In February, the UK, which we will be going to in March, tickets on sale now at gigsandtours.com. Just search Last Podcast on the Left to see if we're coming to a city near you.
Now, this is a story that makes me both like nervous and also excited about being in the UK even more.
Right.
This was when spree killer Joanne Dennehy went on a bit of a row, as they call it, in England. She killed three people in a stabbing spree and severely injured two others. When she went to trial, she was described by the judge at the Old Bailey as having a, quote, sadistic lust for blood, and she was sentenced this year. This is amazing. She is only the third woman in the history of England to be sentenced to life in prison behind Myra Henley and Rosemary West.
Our two favorites.
Yeah.
Also, in this one, she used... The weapon was, if you ever watch QVC late at night, and they're like, we've got a brand new knife set coming your way.
Yeah, it was like the dragon spear or whatever it was called.
It's one of those knives that's so ludicrous looking, you're just like, oh, no one would actually use that to murder anybody, but she took it.
I love her.
I love her, too.
I kind of like her. Is she? When you watch videos of her, because we were saying this before, it's like, you know, a lot of the times, not to discourage the ladies, I love a good old-fashioned lady murderer, but a lot of the times, when they say that they're wicked and they say, like, oh, I just wanted to see what it felt like, you're like, ah, well, you were curious, and then maybe you were surprised at the outcome. She is a person that is a true cold-blooded killer. Like, I showed the video of Mark, I showed to Marcus the video of her arraignment, and it's just her just talking about, she's like, these clothes aren't sexy enough. I need something to fit my ass, something to fit my tits. Yeah. And she was just like an old-fashioned, like, an evil woman from a horror movie, from an old British movie. She's amazing.
Yep, she told a psychiatrist, I killed to see how I would feel, to see if I was as cold as I thought I was. Then it got Moorish.
Cool.
Like, that's great.
Not necessarily more, but more-ish. And by the way, in comparison to the United States, the UK, they have sentenced three women to life in prison in the entire history of their country. The United States just currently has over 5,000 women serving life prison sentences.
Because we punish people equally. It is a democracy. Mm. That's what we do.
Freedom. Freedom. It's all about that. So there's just three people, three chicks in this prison just running wild like Jack Nicholson in The Shining. They just have a bunch of places to play around.
Oh, Rosemary West is having a fantastic time.
No, she's not. She's very upset in jail. She's not doing well. You heard all the story.
She said she never wants to come out. She's having a great time with board games. She's got a girlfriend.
But the problem is that she's also known as being despicably mean. She grew out her mustache hairs.
Oh, that's fine.
See those pictures?
That's okay.
She grew her mustache hairs out. She's looking kind of like a Kung Fu Sensei. Right. She's having a great, like, I guess in that way, but they say that she mostly sits alone.
Oh, well, she's only
now she has a new friend.
Yeah. Now
there's
she does
only
have
one
a
other
new
person to
Can
hang out with.
Can you eat pussy in jail?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
No, she had that was Myra Henley that had a relationship with a guard for quite a long time.
Awesome.
Yeah, that
also
woman.
Gross though.
Yeah.
They love it though. And it's after menopause, that's when the ladies get their facial hair. I learned that this week. So she's not wet down there or bleeding every month, so that's exciting.
Well, Dennehy had an accomplice. Her boyfriend, his name was his name was Gary Richards, aka Gary Stretch. He is 7'3" tall and one of Britain's tallest men.
He's an ugly motherfucker too.
Ooh.
And did you see those pictures that we put up? Someone put them up a long time ago. Mm-hmm. It's her in her bra with stomach cuts all over her face, like dancing all over the place, like right before she committed the murders with Gary Stretch, her boyfriend, and they're all like, you know, there's something that is so sexually free about absolutely disgusting people. Like so disgusting, but they're all like very like, oh yeah, I suck his cock. You want to come in and watch? You want to watch me fuck my boyfriend? And it's never somebody hot.
No. These people are just like, if you gave a personality to a boiled hot dog, that's all they are. They're about as trashy as it gets. This woman, though, I mean, they lived, it was in the apartment complex. It was in the hallway there. That's where all the hot erotica pictures are.
Yep.
So you can imagine someone just like opened their door and then like looked down the hallway and they're just like, I'll wait. I'm just going to wait 15 minutes
to
go to
the
store.
I don't like going into the hallway when my very nice hipster neighbors are coming out of the apartment.
No, can't do
Never
it.
Mind when you got Gary Stretch and fucking Joe.
Yep, yeah. She did a sexy picture showing her belly, and then he did a sexy picture showing his belly. It was one of those, oh no, I'm going to do it, and now you do
You're
it.
You're funny, Gary. You're funny.
Hey, Gary.
I'm going to do it.
Let's go fucking kill tonight.
Still not as creepy as most of Dov Charney's photo shoots.
Oh, think about American Apparel.
American Apparel.
What?
I am not politically fucking active.
American Apparel, Henry.
I love the American Apparel pictures. Are they all 14?
Yeah, tell me that they're all molested 14. Girls.
No, they're not, yeah. Right? They're 18.
No,
at
they're
least.
Molested. They're very molested.
Everybody's been molested but me.
All right.
Well, these murders were called the Peterborough Ditch Murders. And they took place last year.
Not a clever name. It's just because they dumped them in a ditch.
And right. It was in Peterborough.
Right.
And all the victims were male. They all died from stab wounds. They were all discovered dumped in ditches outside of Peterborough. Now, here's something that you should be careful about, Ben.
Uh-oh.
The two men that they stabbed, and that the ones that lived.
They had a bunch of loose skin.
No.
No.
Okay. All right. They have red hair.
Nope.
No, they are born on July 21st.
No, they are not.
All right. So I'm
oh, not
so
that I know.
Why are they
dog walkers?
Yes.
Whoa. Good thing I'm a dog nanny, and I mostly spend time cuddling them. So think about that.
I feel like they want you to spend less time cuddling them.
Yes, yes. One would argue they don't want me to be their employee anymore.
That is fun truth.
Yeah.
That is a fun little truth.
Well, she pleaded guilty. She took everyone by surprise by going in and saying, I've pleaded guilty, and that's that. And one of the victims, his name was something Lee. His last name was
Keith Lee.
Keith Lee.
And they went in, they basically, she was fucking him.
Yes, she was.
She was fucking him, and he was not only her boss, but also her landlord.
Yes.
And you know what? I think Gary Stretch was totally cool with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I believe. I think he might have had like a Fred West room where he had the little keyhole, the little eye hole.
Totally. She was a bit of a prostitute.
Yes.
And that's what they said. It's like basically when she would go missing they had testimony from her first husband who like watched her go around. She was, you know, massive drunk, massive heroin user. And she was just a local favorite. People knew who she was.
Honestly, yeah. I mean, she could have been, you know, had she taken a right instead of a left, she could have been quite a beauty.
Oh.
You know, she had a lot of good potential.
Heroin just don't make you pretty.
Don't make you pretty, never. Nope.
So she killed, you know, the three people she killed. She killed Lee. She killed another guy named Slabazewski. Stabbed him in the heart.
Now, that's a great name. That's like the scream in rage. Like, Slabazewski, I want your badge and your gun on my desk.
Well, I didn't mean to shoot all the neighborhood cats.
I will tell you that I was never officially given a gun. I kind of just took one from the gun room. So
put it back.
You have them back. I'll put them back.
Put it back.
Killed another guy, last name Chapman. He was stabbed in the neck and chest. She was arrested after neighbors living on West Falling Street in Peterborough. They said that she had been randomly stabbing and attacking people. And then after her arrest, she was linked to the previous murders and charged, and she was sentenced to life in prison for the participation in all these attacks.
Yeah, and
all
so right. She was like a good old-fashioned just a ball of mayhem, kind of fun.
Oh, and Stretch was sent to life in prison as well.
Well, why?
Because he helped out.
Yeah, he helped out. He was complicit in all the murders.
He's just the big dummy. You know, I feel like if you're a lady and you're with a guy who does a bunch of murdering, they try to get the girl to turn on the dude and maybe she gets 10 years. I think that Stretch was the gal here.
Yeah?
She was much more masculine. She was the one who wanted to kill. Stretch just,
I wish they would accept me.
Yeah.
He was just huge and big.
I'm bigger than everyone else. If they could see what my eyes can see, taller than anyone should be. Well, with any luck, they'll treat me normal when I go out of the house today.
Hey, you fucking freak!
Oh, never mind.
Joanna loves me.
And then we're on the march, and March just...
Man, only 3 months in.
Where's the fucking plane?
Yeah,
it's March. Where is the plane? This is the only major one that is just March is when the plane disappeared. Nothing else happened in March as far as we're concerned. Where's the fucking plane?
Can I go a little bit on a limb here?
Let's do it.
In a true conspiracy sense, right? I've spent a long time reading about this. We did a whole episode about this that we had to scrap because we had horrible audio. Right. And because at the time we were all obsessed with it and we were researching it. And so last night I was just kind of like going through because I wanted to see like what was more like, you know, like different angles in the conspiracy sort of like about the disappearance of the plane.
Well, you know, the Texas scientists were on the plane. Mm-hmm. Did China take the plane?
Did aliens take the plane? Was it a sacrifice to a new electronic weapon? Was it commandeered by the U.S. government?
Was it like a bad 1980s racist comedian joke being like, I told you Asians couldn't drive?
Yeah.
You know, is it just a punchline?
Yeah. So what I noticed is that every top news aggregate website, like, you know, like CNN, right, and what was it? The big paper over in UK as well.
The Sun or whatever.
The Daily Sun, the Mirror.
The Daily News,
Daily Mail.
Basically, you see all of these actual legit places, the Washington Post, who all like were like collecting. They're like, what are the biggest conspiracies about the missing Malaysian airplane? And they were making a joke about it. And that is, to me, when you talk about disinformation and you talk about like them feeding you and controlling a storyline, the fact that newspapers that are connected to the gigantic corporations that run everything, that are also the people that fund every senator in the United States, that all of the money is put into super PACs all over the country, right? They have now adopted saying that there's a conspiracy, and they're making it a big fun joke.
Yeah.
Like, about how, like, look at all these funny things. 237 people died. They disappeared. They have no idea where the hell these bodies are. Maybe somebody knows. Who knows?
Right.
They are accepting the conspiracy thing, which to me is double-layered conspiracy. It's like, that's the conspiracy.
Oh, shit.
They let the cover-up happen. Mm-hmm. It's like making fun of the UFO people. It's letting it happen in plain sight. It's doing this stuff. They're doing this more and more because they believe everybody's a crackpot. If you believe in conspiracies, they think you're crazy. And they are owning the storyline, and they're telling people what to think.
Well, they are newspapers.
I'm just saying.
I'm with you.
But, you know, I think it's very fun, though.
It just sounds fucking... It's fishy as a fucking grandma's set of panties.
Oh, I love grandma's set of panties. But this is on par, you know, with what we were talking about in the O.J. Simpson situation, the dancing Itos that were on the Tonight Show. When we do go on the CNNs of the world, and we will at some point, I guarantee you they're going to be like, how dare you guys make fun of the victims of all these murderers? And we'll throw it right back in their face. They spent a month making bank money on these 237, now, again, Marine food.
Yeah. And now it can just be a big funny joke about how there's a conspiracy about it, but the problem is because nobody knows the fucking truth. And that is a huge problem.
Yeah.
And it's like, I just think it's like, what's the answer? Just say with yes, of course, they're probably at the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah, I think
but
so.
Fucking, where's the answer? Why don't you know? And so it's that to me is just one of those things when the secret that behind a curtain pokes its head through and you see how they own the news stories, how they own the storyline, and then they can do whatever they want with it. And then basically they're like, oh, all this conspiracy stuff is for nutcases. How dare you? But meanwhile, it's because what they get to do is avoid answering the question.
Yeah. I just hope if I'm on a plane, and let's just say I'm flying Virgin Airlines, I hope the plane doesn't go down while I'm in the middle of the first 48. Oh, I love that show.
Love that show. Love and I hate it when I miss the end.
Oh, my God.
I haven't eaten worse when I missed the beginning.
Oh, my God. Who is murdered and why?
All right. Well, that is my rant.
Yeah. And by the way, the whole time you were pointing and talking at me like I knew the answer. I don't know the answer.
What's the plane?
What's the answer, Marcus? Where's the goddamn plane?
I don't. No.
Who knows?
Let's move on to April.
I don't really care.
Yeah.
No, it's all done. It's all done.
It's the principle of the thing.
Yeah, right. It's the principle. Let's move on to April, the stabbing month.
Lots of stabbings.
Ooh, three big stabbings in April. The first was this guy's name was Trang Ray Lee. He was 47. This was in Ontario. And this was a big month for stabbings in Canada. He had 3 counts of attempted murder and 4 counts of aggravated assault, 4 counts of assault with
a
weapon.
And this is a group of people that don't have many guns.
Yeah.
So now very you see, if they don't got the guns, they're going to knives.
Yeah. Well, that's why the guy that went up and shot up the parliament and shot all the security guards, those security guards, there are no bullets in their guns.
Yeah.
Which that was a big mistake. But Marcus and I were talking before the show, Canada really coming up in the violence game.
Yep, just yesterday, we're recording this on New Year's Eve, just yesterday, 9 people were killed in Manitoba, I believe, in a huge citywide shooting
spree. I've always
said
this, and I'll say it before,
Ontario.
Manitoba is very dangerous in December, just you gotta avoid Manitoba in December, that is common knowledge, people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess we'll just drive right through there to Manitoba. And,
I did right forgot that it's the stabbing celebration where everybody who's got a knife has got to stab somebody because if they do, they get a 20% coupon over at Filene.
Well, it's well worth it then. 20% off.
This guy, he stabbed a bunch of people because he got fired.
Hey, I've been there.
Yep. Mm-hmm. The next very one up common. Was in Pittsburgh. This 20 people were hurt in this stabbing rampage. 19 students and a security guard. The kid was a 16-year-old sophomore. They said that he was flashing 2 knives around as he moved through the classroom in the first floor hallway.
That seems like such a classic 1980s like sort of screwball comedy.
Like him flipping those like butterfly eyes around and be like, hey, yeah, I'm bad. I'm from the other side of the tracks.
Right. But at the end of the day, he has a really good heart. And we found out that his father was an alcoholic and his mother didn't take care of him enough.
But that's why the 80s movies leave off, as they don't finish the end. Or when he goes and lightly stabs 20 people.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. It's like the alternate ending to Summer School.
I'm also going to put it this way. I know he was stabbing people and it's very true and real. He was barely stabbing these guys.
Well,
he was just kind of tacking and trying to see if they're rare or not. You know what I mean? Like,
you go through a supermarket, but you're squeezing avocados, but this guy's just stabbing people to see if they're fresh.
I don't know, man. One doctor described the knife wounds that he saw as several inches deep and, quote, impressively large.
Hey, we can't be complimenting.
Oh, my.
I got to say, because, you know, not that I think about it all the time, but I'd like to think that if I was going around stabbing a bunch of people, that I'd do it just like that little boy.
Just like that. Yeah, that's not good if you go to the doctor and you're like, I think I've been stabbed. And the doctor's like, impressive? Yes. Very impressive.
Look how big it is. Yeah. Oh, look, I can put my whole finger in it.
Yeah, like Shao Kahn in Mortal Kombat.
Impressive.
Yep. One kid, the knife pierced his liver, his diaphragm, and several major blood vessels. Missed his heart by millimeters. 7 were stabbed in the chest, back, and abdomen. He had a pretty good run. Of course, there were no fatalities in those two.
Right.
He's being kind of like Raphael.
Yeah, I mean, 20 people. He must have gone through a Ted Bundy when he went into the sorority house and got the 4 girls in 15 minutes sort of frantic phase.
It just reminds me of, it makes me think of that fat kid doing the Jedi thing with the broom handle. Ooh, and it's him just running down the hallway going like, stabbing randomly.
That was the first internet sensation that went viral, Star Wars kid.
Yeah.
I believe he was called. And you know what? He was extremely suicidal.
Yes.
Not happy with
that. Oh, he should have been. It was quite embarrassing.
Impressive.
Well, the third mass stabbing in April, this one resulted in quite a few murders. This guy, Matthew DeGrood, he went to a house party and fatally stabbed 5 people. They were celebrating the end of the semester.
Let's also put it this way. It was a fondue party. They had run out of those long forks. Mm-hmm. And so it starts with just the stab. Next thing you know, you got 3 or 4 glasses of wine. You got close to 2 pounds of Gouda in you. You're starting to have hallucinations. You're starting to see people. Ooh, you look like a big piece of bread.
Right, right. That's true.
Well, he they said that he brought an quote-unquote instrument from work to stab people. But once he got to the party, he saw a knife in the kitchen, decided that that was a much better weapon, and he stabbed 5 people to death. 3 of them were pronounced dead on the scene.
Damn.
2 of them later died in the hospital. I mean, he went deep in this stabbing. And
so
he got away, too. Everyone just ran. When he started stabbing, people just ran away. They scattered.
Right.
He was arrested 40 minutes later with assistance from a K-9 unit.
Oh, very good.
A dog
good.
Caught him.
That's good. Dog dogs are great.
Yep. His last post on Facebook read, "The world needs a hero."
Whoa.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I don't.
Well,
I
he was quoting a Megadeth song that's called "Dread and the Fugitive Mind."
Can we play it?
Well, let me look for it.
This
well,
is his favorite song.
Well, right, but I mean, how does he be a hero? How does this make him a hero? He just stabbed a bunch of people at a dinner party.
He was thinking of himself like he was some sort of, I don't know, Scarlet Witch. I don't know what's the name of one of these characters.
Did he think he was
Wolverine?
He's like a Wolverine. He thinks he's being Wolverine, and everybody around him is being a fucking.
Oh, yeah, this is stabbing music.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I'll teach Debbie to not come with me to the Megadeth concert.
That'll teach her.
Yep, that is Dread and the Fugitive Mind by Megadeth.
That's great.
And he was also a fan of motivational speaker Chris Gardner, of whom the Will Smith movie The Pursuit of Happiness
Think
was based
about,
on.
Without his encouragement and that sort of drive, he may have just used that knife to kill himself.
Right.
But instead, he believed in himself and he knew that the world needed a hero that day. So he went to that party instead of bringing the booze,
right.
He brought an instrument, literally a sharp saxophone,
yeah.
From his job in order to stab people.
You know, I was thinking about this, as a matter of fact, 2 days ago, and I'm over self-help. I'm
yeah.
over self-help books, and I'm over encouraging words of wisdom, because most of the people I don't like, and I don't want them to have more spirit or soul.
Your
I don't want them to have the go-get-it attitude.
Who had a lot of spirit in life, right?
Right.
Hitler.
Sure.
A lot of spirit.
You could argue that Hitler was the little kitty holding on from the mountain.
He had a lot of spirit.
He definitely hung in there until the Russians demolished Berlin.
Yeah, Genghis and of course he went to retire in Argentina.
Yeah. Oh, and I saw a new picture of him recently.
Ah.
They said a new picture that is proof that he's been living in Argentina all this time. And I got to tell you, he looked like shit.
Yeah, well, he's got to be over 100 years old by
yeah,
now.
Yeah, it's not recent. It was from the 70s.
Okay, okay. Well, we'll actually get to a surviving Nazi later on. But before then,
but Ben Zopas.
Do not. Your father was the cop. All right, we're not going to go there.
So in May, we're going to go for a story that I can't believe. This is almost more of a roundtable story. This happened in the Czech Republic. Two men, Tomáš Krepela and Rudolf Fion, were handed life sentences for producing tainted alcohol that killed more than 30 people.
This is such an... I mean, we covered a lot of horrible crimes, and they're all terrible.
Yeah.
I think that this is the worst crime on this whole thing.
Right.
Because it's so random and it's so fucked up. They literally just poisoned a bunch of beer, and it's like, that's the exact opposite of what we need beer for. Beer is to help everyone.
Yeah, they used...
this is the most hippie argument you've ever made.
I love beer.
Yeah, beer is great.
Sweet, sweet booze. It's like if you told me someone poisoned the nug.
Oh.
I'd be like, how dare you break that trust?
Right, that's very true. That's a good point.
Well, they were selling a bootleg, of course, and the bootleg alcohol was diluted with the industrial chemical methanol, which is commonly used to make windscreen wiper fluid.
Man, I'll tell you, though, the first couple of sips of this booze were awesome.
Well, you get hammered.
Yeah.
If you can live.
Right.
You get real drunk.
Yep. They killed 38 people.
38 drunks.
And the...
Think about that.
38 dregs. 38 yeah. drains on society.
Yeah, out there getting booze hounded instead of working in our factories making bullets for our boys overseas.
That's right.
Well, the deaths, this is an interesting fact. The deaths were described at the time as the Czech Republic's worst case of fatal alcohol poisoning in 30 years.
In 30 years?
So this has happened before.
Yeah, and not that long ago. Oh, 38 dead from alcohol, huh? That reminds me of last Tuesday.
And they go and they have that, like, 0 days since, like, men have died of alcohol.
All right, back to zero.
Well, in June, we had the 2M Children's Grave Scandal. This is when a Catholic archbishop in the Republic of Ireland, he said that the church has no records about the burial of 800 children at a mother-baby home in Ireland.
At least those kids fucking died.
Oh,
my big
God.
Thing is, what about the kids that lived and had to live with the memories from that fucking orphanage?
God.
Now, absolutely awful.
Remembering Sister June coming down being like, it's time to play pepperoni counter. And she's like, she has all the kids line up with their dicks out, and she goes around like, one, a two, a three, a four, oh, the fourth is my favorite because I give it a
You know, that's not that bad. That doesn't sound too terrible.
If everyone's consenting and you're paying for it.
Sure.
Well, this was a what they call in Ireland a mother baby home. This is.
I mean, I'm just gonna say that they that is dumb.
Yeah, mother baby.
Yeah, because
it's in Italian.
What's in that house there? Mother baby.
Mother baby.
Are the baby mothers? Are there children having sex? Babies or
the mother. Mother baby.
How old's the mother? Is the mother the baby? Or the mother has a baby?
Mother baby.
Mother baby house. Okay. Well, this place, what's the name of that house? Oh, that's
mother
the
baby.
Mother baby house. Okay.
Well, this place operated from 1926 to 1961, and the remains of some of the children were found in a disused septic tank.
Well, not disused anymore.
Hey, you know, it comes down to it is that as long as it could have been an empty septic tank.
Right.
Which is a travesty. They would just throw it. The reason why they ended up in the septic tank is because the backyard was full.
Right.
It's like the burbs.
It's literally the same thing. The backyard was full. They started putting bodies in the thing. And so what it was, I was starting doing research about this place, mm-hmm. this orphanage. The mother baby homes are where mother baby.
Yeah, the mother baby house.
They are for when it's basically for women to go discreetly. They have a baby when they have a baby out of wedlock, but most of the time what they do with these babies is they kill them. They take the baby, they go like clack clack clack, they'll snap it like it's a wet towel and then fucking throw it in a ditch.
Yeah.
And that's what they did, and because they were fucking nurses,
they got away with it.
Well, not only that, not only did the women give birth and, the nuns pretty much, just killed the babies. Right. These women were forced to work at the mother baby home for a year afterwards to pay off the debt.
Well, I have no problem with that. I just want to say, thanks, new pope. You know, classic new pope. But this is it also happened to John Wayne Gacy when he got the 33 in the crawl space, but then he killed an extra six, and he's just like, what?
Oh, what do I,
you know, you got to throw him in the river.
Yeah, happened to Fred and Rosemary West as well. Yeah. They filled up everything, so they had to go out to that old farmhouse.
Oh, man, that needs to be a show. Human hoarders. Corpse hoarders.
Corpse hoarders.
Oh, God.
And at the end of each episode, like, they help them organize their houses, and then they arrest them.
They organize the corpse bones.
And they're like, and now that everything's neat, you're coming to jail from, was John Wayne Gacy's thing? It's like, I didn't kill anybody. The most they could get me is for running an illegal morgue.
No, it was for running an unlicensed cemetery.
Oh, yeah, yes, yes.
Right. So my bedroom has finally become a safe haven. I have it all cleaned up.
So this grave was originally found in 1975 by two 12-year-old boys.
Ooh, that is such a great fun find for you and your 12-year-old friend.
Oh, yeah, you literally just find a fucking ditch filled with bones?
We were looking.
I would have been so happy.
Every single trip with my friends was in the back of our minds, will we find a bunch of human bones? Yeah. Please, God, let us find a bunch of human bones.
These kids were living like the Goonies.
Exactly. Although there's no gold in Ireland.
Yeah. No. All the gold is in their teeth because it's all rotten from just drinking booze and eating mud. I don't know what
it doesn't matter.
Beautiful women.
No.
Very smart men.
Oh, yeah. Love the Irish.
Well, they thought that these baby skeletons were just from the potato famine. So they said, fuck.
Yeah, that's great. No, that's just a normal dead baby field. You know, when we ran out of potatoes and everybody was just, they would just throw them out in the field.
Jesus. So it's like they're walking around like you're going through Detroit and you see a bunch of old car parts. And you're like, yeah, there used to be a car factory here. But they're like, this reminds me a lot of all the corpses from the potato factory. Well, those corpses are new.
Well, this woman, the reason why we heard about it this year was because a historian named Catherine Corliss decided
Always
to do a little bit of digging.
Always some nosy woman.
Oh, leave her alone.
Yep, she said that she went to the Births, Deaths, and Marriages Registration Office in Galway, asked them if she could have records of the children who died at that home, she said, when they came back to me, she said, we have the records, but there's quite a number.
Eight. The number's eight.
Eight. It's eight.
800.
800. Eight. Now it's eight, but then there's two zeros behind it, so I guess it's now -8.
Is it like the word woo? Is it like saying woo?
Ayoo! Mother baby?
I'm gonna need to go to another authority. Thank you.
Well, this home was run by the nuns. They were called the Bon Secours Sisters.
Yeah, just a bunch of fucking evil, twatted, twisted sisters.
These women... Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
These women were doing a service, dare I say.
Yeah, they ran three mother baby homes.
Hmm.
Hey, you know, I remember when Sam Walton... ran into Walmart and he was just like, I got a Walmart on my hands. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the same thing. They're like mother babies. These women keep fucking.
Right.
And we keep having, we have plenty of ditches.
So these nuns are the Sam Walton of abortion clinics.
Yes.
Yeah. There were 10 institutions of these kind in Ireland in the 20th century. 35,000 unmarried pregnant women who they called fallen women were shuttled through these homes.
You know, Ireland has the strictest abortion standards in the world. It's borderline. I mean, it is completely illegal.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Really?
They just allowed a woman to, they just allowed a fetus to die instead of a woman who was being kept alive via tubes and machinery, but they allowed her to die, so then the baby died with her. But it was very rare.
They allowed her to die?
Yeah, because they were keeping her alive because of the baby inside of her, but then they were like, fuck it.
Yeah, you know what? His whole thing, that's like a trash, his whole thing.
Yeah.
They're very Catholic.
It's what we call the double shivo right there.
Nothing like a double shivo.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, man.
The thing is that you get the baby death for half off.
Oh, that's very nice.
Yep. Death rates were extraordinarily high at this place. 34% of the kids died at the home in 1943. 25% died in 1944. 23% died in 1945. They're going down every year.
Yeah.
But in 1946, they pop back up to 27%.
Ah.
Most of them died of sickness or malnutrition. There were just a ton of unmarked graves. And, of course, the Associated Press, they got this story, and they ran with it without getting all the facts straight. First, they said that these kids had not received Roman Catholic baptisms, which in Ireland is actually a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
But documents said that many at the orphanage were baptized. Not all of them. But
that's
many
what
of
a
them.
Priest calls when he takes a piss on you.
Yeah.
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 And another correction they had to make was the AP quoted a researcher who said that she believed that most of the children's remains who died there were in the septic tank, but researchers have since clarified that without excavation and forensic analysis, it is impossible to know how many sets of the remains the tank contains. It's impossible to know, but
right.
They said most likely only about 200 were dumped in the shitter.
Oh,
that's fine.
That's
like David Duke being like, yes, the Holocaust happened, but it wasn't 6 million Jews. It was just two million Jews.
And the other thing is, too, it's just like the quality of these toilets. I can't even flush a paper towel down my toilet without it getting all clogged up.
Man, you got a bucket full of shit paper in your bathroom.
You're just fucking, you know.
Right, right.
You mean you can get a whole baby's arm down there?
I mean,
that's
honestly,
incredible.
If I was selling toilets to high schools, that would be one of my marketing tools.
Also,
you know, you could flush a baby right down the Ben Kissel toilet for all your juniors and sophomore girls who are constantly getting pregnant here.
I'm hearing lots of like many and most. You know who wouldn't stand for many and most? Sam Walton. Again,
I think
Sam Walton got into the abortion business over there, you wouldn't be getting many of these people counted for. Oh, most of them.
Right.
Every one of them. You know why?
Everyone.
Because they have Quicken. And Quicken is great for keeping your record straight.
A great program. Gotta
really
use it. Yeah.
So in July, July 9th, 2014, there was a mass shooting that located in the town of Spring, Texas, which is a suburb of Houston, which left six family members dead, four of them children, and one lone survivor. The shooter was 33-year-old Ronald Lee Haskell.
Mm. And
I will play him in a movie.
You will play him in a movie. He looks just like every internet troll.
Yeah.
He looks the exact thing that he has the if you only grow a beard on the bottom of your face, don't grow a beard.
Don't grow a beard.
Yeah, neck beards they
neck
call
beard.
Them.
Yeah.
Hate the neck beard.
No. Hate it. So the actual crime started about a week before. He went over to his mother's house. Her name was Carla Jean. And she told that San Marcos police that she wanted a restraining order against her son after having a, quote, ferocious argument, which resulted in her being forced into the garage, having a wrist tied with duct tape and taped to a computer chair for almost 4 hours while he threatened to kill her and his entire family.
My fucking Christmas...
I was ready to do the same thing. I understand
Christmas.
It.
Yep. And the incident was allegedly sparked when Haskell's mother said that she was still in contact with his ex-wife, which he was not.
Let's put it this way. Oh, she wasn't? Because that's rough. You can't be in contact with the ex-wife. You can't.
No, that's
you can't
fine.
Have empathy. All these people around. It's like,
Dare I say I agree with the ex-wife for divorcing him?
Yeah.
Yeah, seems I mean, like he's at a bit of a temper.
It seems like it,
you
yeah.
know, especially when it gets him. I'd hate to see him at the return counter. You know, in Target.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. This is not the first time we've mentioned duct tape and using that to tape up somebody's wrists. They just like separate your hands?
Duct tape is horrible. But with
the original duct tape, when you just start duct taping, it takes a second.
You got to do that fucking Harry Houdini trick. This is a tip for everybody. All if right. you're ever being tied up, what you do, and it's true, is you flex your muscles as hard as you can.
Yes.
And so what you do is, so it's like, with that, it's like you would place your hands like this with your fists facing together. You make him tie you like this, and then what they do, it's like you give yourself a little wiggle room. If you flex as much as you can while you're getting your fucking ropes tied around your body, and then you relax, you get like a half an inch of room.
Ooh, very good.
Oh, that's very nice.
That's a lifesaver right there.
Well, Haskell had a temper, but he was also a master of disguise. He went over to his ex-wife's house dressed up as a FedEx employee.
I mean, he just watched Jim Carrey's Pet Detective, Ace Ventura Pet Detective, and was like, I'll do that.
Not even Jim Carrey's Pet. This is more of a Dana Carvey master of disguise.
Oh, turtly.
Yeah,
turtly.
Turtly. Turtly.
Say it with my little wiener and two tiny little balls. That's all I think about.
God, I can't believe this guy is such a piece of shit.
Oh, he's awful. He went searching for his ex-wife. The door was answered by... This was, by the way, the sister of the mother, the sister of his ex-wife. It was answered by the mother's 15-year-old daughter, who didn't recognize him because... Master of disguise.
Master of disguise. And he was also going like, hey, I am here to search for your mother. Certainly not I, Robert Lee Haskell. Never in a thousand years.
Yeah. Not the sharpest girl, right?
No one involved in this story.
Right.
Is in a Pentagon think tank.
No.
You know what I mean?
No. Right, right. No. So Haskell left after the ruse didn't work. But he returned a short
because
time later.
He just like wrote FedEx on fucking map piece of masking tape with fucking Sharpie on it.
So it's the kid who got to go to the Metallica concert, but he didn't have the money for a shirt, so he just wrote Metallica on his white T-shirt.
Mailman. Got your mail here.
Where's the mail? Do you have any mail? It's in the truck. I got to get in the truck.
Oh, where's your truck?
What's behind you? Oh, okay. You just see him slowly running away.
So he comes back. He comes clean. He says, hey, I'm your ex-uncle. She, of course, tries to close the door on him immediately. He forced his way inside. He tied her up, made her lie face down. He did the same to four other children and their parents when they returned to the house. And then when they wouldn't tell her where his ex-wife was, tight-lipped fucking family.
Yeah, what
else? When the family wouldn't tell him anything, he shot all seven people in the back of the head, execution style.
Again, maybe you just tell him something.
Yeah.
Just tell him something.
Yeah.
Yeah, just say anything.
Say anything. She went to Wendy's. She'll be back soon.
Ooh, that is
Bacon
a good line.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then what you've done there is you've distracted his mind because now he's thinking of beautiful redheads.
Wendy's, and
bacon.
He starts thinking about the Baconator, and he starts thinking about like square patties. He starts thinking about Dave Thomas. He starts thinking about Wendy Thomas. Next thing you know, he's jerking off thinking about some 14-year-old redhead, and he doesn't even have to think about his ex-wife.
That's right.
And then he goes to the Wendy's. Now he's hungry. He's going to the Wendy's. He sees young Sershal Mondair, who's
the cashier
at the Wendy's.
Yep.
He connect physically. They fucking have that chemistry. Street, blah, blah, blah. Next thing you know, he's married 6 months later, and he's a father of two.
Like, immediately, of course, yeah.
Of course. Well, the only survivor was the 15-year-old girl who answered the door. She survived by raising her hand, deflecting the bullet just enough to graze her head. She suffered a skull fracture and an amputated finger. She played dead until the guy left. And then she called the cops, and she was the one that was able to identify him. He was cornered in a cul-de-sac by 24 patrol cars about 3 miles from the scene of the shooting. They disabled his car with a spike chip.
That's not him. That's a UPS guy.
Yeah, we're looking for a FedEx guy. He's in brown.
Yeah, so you noticed that. So that's not him.
Yep. They blocked his car in. He held a pistol to his head while he spoke to police via cell phone. After about 3 hours passed, he surrendered to police without further incident. Fun fact about Haskell. In high school, class clown.
Oh, isn't yeah.
He was voted class clown, and he was king for both prom and homecoming.
So this guy peaked early. That's yes. what happened.
Yes. Especially for how gross he was. I gotta say, we did the same thing. So it's like, I did the same thing. I was voted class clown.
I was voted class clown.
I was voted class clown as well.
Were you really?
I was, yeah.
I was the loudest, the rowdiest, and class clown.
I was loudest as well. No, I was voted class clown. The competition was not stiff. Yeah. Also voted wittiest.
Wittiest. Yeah. Now, Marcus is the only one that can talk the words, right?
When they voted, they actually had to ask what wittiest meant.
What I will say is that I knew Marcus was the wittiest when, instead of actually solving the Rubik's Cube, he took all the stickers off and just put them on. All the colors. That's outside the box.
That is outside the box. Though, yeah.
Well, August, not a whole lot. It is very much outside. Yeah, it was pitiful. Not a whole lot happened in August.
Okay.
A couple of British guys got stabbed in a bar in the Philippines for being too loud.
Nothing's a thing. That's just rough.
That's just a rough one. But in September, in Oklahoma, a woman was beheaded by a Muslim convert. He worked at this place. They all worked at this place called Vaughn Foods. It was a food distribution center. They were arguing. He was trying to convert people. He got angry. He went out. He climbed out, or he went outside, he got into his car, he smashed it into another vehicle a couple times, climbed out, got into the building, and attacked the first two people that he encountered with a knife. He stabbed Tracy Johnson to death, but he stabbed and beheaded Colleen Huffer.
It's just one of those things, it's like, how do you do that so fast enough? How is nobody on him?
I think that you just let him finish. What? It's like if you see a dog having sex with another dog, you just gotta let him be done. Yeah. Let him finish it. You know.
Well, we've actually got the 911 call from inside Vaughn Foods. Let's take a listen.
Shut the door.
Good morning, 911. Where's your emergency?
Vaughn Foods, Moore, Oklahoma, 216 Northeast 20th Street.
What's going on there?
We have someone attacking someone in the building. I was just informed. I'm in the...
Okay, where are they at?
Inside. Are they in the office? They're in the office.
What are you ordering,
office
pizza?
Of the building. Okay. Yeah, we can hear a lot of screaming. We're actually in a different office, but someone just came here yelling, lock that door.
I'm like going nowhere near there.
Everybody in there if you can.
Yeah, we're trying. Okay. Can you hear this in the background?
Is that him? He's back?
Yeah, it sounds like he's running around out here.
Okay.
And that's a gunshot.
Got gunshot.
Sure.
Units responding to the Vaughn Foods. We do now have gunshots. How many more shots have you heard?
We heard three.
You heard three shots?
No, I'm hearing somebody yell in the hallway, Stadium.
There's another subject yelling in the hallway. The units be advised that there's another subject yelling in the hallway. Still standing by on injury.
Stay down. Stay down.
So imagine going to that guy and asking for a raise.
It just sounds like a bunch of people playing like World of Warcraft.
It's insane. And also, it's like, it's one of my personal pet peeves as a previous delivery driver is if you call up a place and you don't have your order straight. And then you're like, Tommy, you said you wanted onions? You wanted mushrooms? Okay. It's get your story down.
Know what we're doing. Have the cash ready.
Right.
It's happening in the office over next to us.
Is it in the next? Yeah. It's
yeah,
in the
we're
next.
Not. I think yeah. it's, yeah. It's in the next one, but I'm not going anywhere near that.
No, I don't. Why aren't I emotional about it? I don't
know. No, it's like living next door to the house and you're next. And like, right. I could just see myself like looking through windows and seeing all the mayhem happen and then just going like, closing the drapes. Yeah, putting on Frasier. Yeah. I guess, like,
it just sounds so bored. Like, how many gunshots do you hear?
Yeah, there's the gunshot.
We heard three.
We heard three, yeah. So.
But that was like last year. I heard like five. I don't even really fucking.
Saying, man.
And a year before that, I like saw a gun in person. So
live in the now. You know, realize that you're experiencing something you may not experience again. Have a little energy.
It's like the running of the bulls.
Come on.
How many times are you going to be around when a Muslim convert beheads one of your coworkers?
Well, we don't even want to know what the U.S. future holds.
What? Mm. Have you been talking to my grandmother?
No, I'm just saying there might be more beheadings in the future.
Well, October, we had the first of two serial killers caught in Brazil this year.
I love this guy.
Thiago Henrique Gomes de Rocha, 26. One of the people that he admitted to killing 39 people over 9 months, mostly women, homeless people, and transvestites. One of the people, a singer who survived his attack, she revealed how he shouted, "Tell me I'm beautiful!" before firing short shots.
He would literally go like, "Tell me I'm beautiful! Tell me I'm handsome!" and then shoot them. I was like, it's not me. It's just, that's what a fun character.
Oh, that's straight.
He would also scream, "Robbery!"
Yeah, that's what he would do. He would run up to somebody on his motorcycle, scream, "Robbery!" and they'd turn around and he'd shoot him.
I'm going to start doing that, but instead hand them like a box of chocolates.
Yeah, that's much nicer.
Yep, she's like, "So sorry. Oof, I just wanted to make your day better. I hope you like flowers."
Oh, I love them. Yeah.
About her encounter with this guy, she said, "He looked into my eyes and he said, 'You're looking at my face? You're looking at my eyes for what? You're thinking that I'm beautiful? Tell me I'm beautiful.'"
I need to start. Wow. I'm going to start using that line.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
"You're looking at my face?
Eye. You're looking at my eyes? Why are you looking at my eyes? Oh, is it because I'm beautiful?"
I think it is.
Oh, girl.
And also, it's making nose noises, too, because that's a big Brazilian thing. You go, "Ooh, isco.
Ooey gooey.
Ooh, gooshy.
Ooey gooey." Yeah.
"Why you look? You look at my eyes? Do you Jewish? You are looking at my naked knees? I take off my pants now."
Oh. Very good. Yeah, you got to shoot
the handsome killer.
Yeah.
In November, yes, the handsome killer. In November, we had some Nazi news.
Right.
And most importantly, we had some ex-Nazi news. We just found out some information about this guy named Alois Bruner, who was responsible for the deaths of 128,000 Jews during the Second World War.
Now, this wasn't one of the guys who would come to like your 6 or 7 year old birthday party.
No, I never met this one.
He would come in like a fucking sombrero and like a fake beard and stuff, just being like, "Yo, this is our uncle from Argentina, Uncle Alois."
Yes, he sounds very Spanish. No, but good job, Henry.
Guten Tagen do you. Guten
I come from the very northest part of Argentina. My name is Taco Valdez Juan de Marcantator.
Always the nicest guest from that guy.
Well, this guy, he was...
Just stacks of papers and documents.
Yeah. Shred these for me. Weird gift to give me.
Well, he, after fleeing Nazi Germany... he went to Syria, and from the 1950s until his death, and we think was about 2012, at the age of 98, he advised
these
the Syrians.
Nazis lived a long time.
Yeah. There is there's something in the water.
Yeah.
Probably like a bunch of bones.
I mean, you know how it is when guys retire and they die pretty soon afterwards?
Right.
This guy did not stop torturing for his entire life.
That's
what kept him going.
Because it's what you got to do. You got to have a job. My dad still works a little job just to be out. You know, he goes on LinkedIn. You find this stuff. If you got to set a...
What happened to you just then? What is wrong with you? Henry had said too many words in the hour, and his body has shut down.
God help us. No, he's got skills still.
He's
still a viable employee.
Well, of course he was. He was fucking Adolf Eichmann. The guy that orchestrated the Holocaust called this guy his, quote, best man.
Yeah, his go-to guy.
Go-to guy.
If you're the go-to guy for the Holocaust, it's like...
By the way, Henry and I were discussing this last night or the night before about Auschwitz, of course, in Poland there. And I was like, there's a cafeteria, but we Googled it. I wasn't quite right, but there are two hot dog stands.
There are two hot dog
right
stands.
Right outside of Auschwitz, which I would argue is the most offensive of all the foods.
I think so.
To be eaten next to a memorial.
At least it's quick food. What are you going to do? You're going to get fucking a slab of ribs? You know what I mean? Like, you're going to go to the fucking Auschwitz.
What? Brilliant business owner is just like, I'd put a hot dog stand anywhere. I'd go out to Auschwitz and put a hot dog stand there.
Think about it. All right.
hot dogs. What reminds you? Baseball game. Right? You're going to the circus, right? It's nice. It's a fun food. And what's Auschwitz, right? Oh, it's a downer. Oh, yeah. But what we got to do, we got to get the nicest hot dogs. Like footlongs.
Footlongs.
Footlongs. And we only get the bad. We don't get the Sabrettes. We get the Nathans.
Yeah. Footlongs. You know, it's like, it's oh, man, that was so sad. All the shoes just oh, hot dogs. Great. Never mind. Everything's fine.
Yep. This guy.
Oh, look, there's a tooth in the ground.
Hot dogs. Weird. You know, Auschwitz was nuts. Some of the best hot dogs I've ever had. Weird.
Well, he was personally responsible for the deaths of 67,000 people in his own little camp that he
How?
Had.
How? How does one person kill 67,000 people?
He didn't kill them directly. He orchestrated it.
On the directives, because that's how they were, like, during the Nuremberg trials. The way they attributed the numbers is that basically they're like, this many Jews went in, this many Jews didn't come out, like, right. and they were looked at the dude.
Did they have a Chinese calculator while they were doing it?
Ding, ding,
abacus.
Ding, ding. An abacus. Yeah.
It's not a Chinese calculator.
That's what it's called, a Chinese calculator.
No, it's not.
I've never heard. I mean, I'm not.
This was from. Okay, well, Shakiest Gun in the West, one of Don Knotts' best movies.
Oh, and if there is anything that I want to.
He is right.
I know I'm right.
Well, at least it just wasn't just like a pile of just.
All right, moving on. Nazi got arrested, or not even arrested. No, he didn't.
He died at the age of. He was responsible for the deaths of 6,000 children. He got away because his identity was mixed up with a guy named Anton Bruner. A B. They both had the initials A B. He was Alois.
And
he
Anton
was Alois
Bruner
and Anton Bruner. He was, you know, he was still, I mean, convicted and executed for war crimes.
And Anton Bruner technically was a guy that invented the thing that's got the chocolate with the whiskey in it, which is really
I
sad.
Love those. Yeah,
yeah, they're really delicious. Mm. And he got punished.
Well, I'll go through
for being
about
a Nazi torturer.
I had to quit drinking. I was up to about 98 chocolates full of whiskey a night. So,
yep. And this guy,
I'm dying.
Yes.
My teeth are falling out.
Diabetes type 2, alcoholism?
I've got type 7. It's a new type.
Wow.
So this guy, since his identity was mixed up, he was able to slip under the radar, and he worked as a driver for the army in Berlin under a false name.
Wow.
And then eventually he was linked to, and I actually never heard of these guys before, a unit of former Nazi generals called the Galen Organization, which were used by the Americans to spy on Soviets.
Oh, interesting. Okay. And you know, like, these are the kind of guy that when he was driving around, he's like, oof, it's so hard when you're driving on Berlin during rush hours. This traffic is certainly torture. Quite torturous. Just give me where I can go, Klaus.
Yeah, gotta go. Come on.
Well, after he got tired of the U.S. Army, he went over to Syria. I don't know if they headhunted him and said, you need to come work for us. But he worked for Assad's father for years and years, advising him on torture and repression. There were numerous extradition bids. The Jew hunters, or the Nazi hunters, the Jewish Nazi hunters, knew that he was there. There were many attempts on his life. They started sending him letter bombs, and he lost an eye on one letter bomb and lost all of the fingers on his left hand.
What a fucking
on another.
Great villain.
Oh, yeah,
what a great villain.
Better.
Like, he's got a fucking eye patch on. He's the head torturer for new. Can you imagine that?
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, you know, you're in Syria, you're trapped by Assad's army, and they're like, well, who's the guy? And it's like, you're used to seeing some normal terrorist guy, and then in comes this fucking guy with an eye patch who's like, we have ways of making you. I'm going to just say, we're going to make you scream, and you're going to scream, and you're going to shit yourself.
It is unbelievably cartoonish in a strange way. They also had all those beefcakes that were just jacked up on steroids and the black shirts.
Yeah.
Oh, Syria knew how to. They know how to torture.
Yeah. Yeah,
still
man.
Do.
And the last time that this guy was seen alive was in 2003, but we do know that he lived probably until like pretty recently, but we can't go in and check because of the Syrian civil war.
All right, that'll stop that.
Cool.
All right,
you know,
interesting.
And sadly, the last time he was out, it was at a regional version of the Phantom of the Opera.
Ah, he relates to the Phantom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm.
So we're right at the end. We're in this month now. We're in December. And on December 11th, Brazil had its second confessed serial killer of the year. This guy named Sales Son José das Crosses. He said that he has killed 42 people over the last decade. He said he killed for pleasure and the accompanying adrenaline rush. He also said he operated as a killer for hire. He preferred white females as victims who he strangled. He said, I would wait for an opportunity to break into the house and kill. When I didn't do it, I would get nervous. Then I would go hunting.
I wonder if the killer for hire game took a hit with the economy.
You know?
Like, I haven't gotten a goddamn hit job in about a year. This fucking economy is really screwing me up. So he confessed to 42, but have they proven that he actually killed 42? Because a lot of these guys, before they go to prison, they pump up their numbers.
Well, they have proved, I think, four. Okay. Four or five right now, because there is a link between all of these. He removed the fingernails from all of his victims. So if there was anything, if they scratched or marked him in any way, his skin wouldn't be on it. For some reason, that was what...
Very smart.
Yeah, it was actually very smart, but that was the thing that he thought. It's like, okay, if I remove their nails, then there's not going to be any evidence under the nails. He said that he killed his first victim at 27. He said he killed 37 women, 3 men, and a 2-year-old girl over the last 9 years, either stabbed or strangled them. And by comparison, and not what I've kind of found researching this year in crime, especially these two Brazilian guys, Brazil is fucking impressive. As far as serial killer goes.
It's very dangerous. Yeah. Like,
it is. It's very, very dangerous.
Extremely dangerous and very easy to operate in the favelas.
Beautiful women.
Yeah, you want to talk about the less dead. It's like a whole country of less dead.
Yeah, because they have all these slum towns and people. Nobody knows who lives there. Nobody knows how many people live there.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep.
Well, we'll definitely have to dedicate a full episode to Brazilian serial killers.
We will, because we got to cover this guy. His name was Pedro Rodriguez Filho. He claimed to have killed over 100 victims. He was eventually convicted of killing 71. 47 of them were inmates.
Damn.
He killed 47 people in prison.
So those are the hardest people to kill.
Totally. But I mean, this guy just won the prison. You know, he was just the coolest guy in prison. I don't care about the 47 inmates. I'm just going to say that was probably a fair fight to some degree.
There was a lot of that, and that had to happen.
Yeah.
Right. You know, he's living the dream.
Yeah, man.
He did what he had to do.
And a little teaser on this guy, he killed his first two victims at the age of 14 and murdered his father and ate his heart.
Well, his dad, that's actually not the worst way to go. If you have your son kill you and he takes your heart, you know, you become one.
I did my first sketch show at the age of 14 at the library.
Right. So it's different.
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 The real different,
different stuff.
Different things inspire us.
I played a tree. I played a tree in local community theater at the age of 9.
Was it because you were so short?
No, it was because I wasn't the most talented. I was a tree, though. Me and my grandmother, we were singing.
Well, we've covered it. We're recording this.
I would have hated to see that.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're recording this on New Year's Eve, December 31st, 2014. So we know that everything that will happen has happened. Of course, there's that big shooting up in Canada that happened yesterday. We don't know a whole lot about it right now.
Yep.
But that is the year in murder and mayhem.
Yeah. Yep. There was a lot of murder and mayhem. And I'm not going to say let's hope for more, but, you know.
We do not have to hope for more. I guarantee you there's going to be more. It doesn't matter.
You know, and we didn't even cover a single... Like, that's how blasé mass shootings have become, is that we did not cover a single one this year.
And there's
like,
so many.
There's so many. There's so many of them, and they're blurry. What I almost hope is that there's so many of them that they will stop being, like, important. So that they don't feel, but it's like literally they will stop getting the press.
I mean, the press made this entire phenomenon start happening. After Columbine, they had this insane, audacious, dare I say, storyline that Dylan and whatever the other
Klebold. Dylan Klebold and Eric Harris.
That Dylan and Eric were somehow bullied and that they deserved to go to the shoot up the school when in reality they had a bunch of friends and they were the cocksucking assholes.
No, they were a bunch of assholes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's all these people who shoot up the schools, they're the dickheads. There's this insane narrative that somehow these people are pushed to the edge. You're a kid. High school sucks.
Yeah.
But you know what? You don't go shooting people. You should be bullied in high school. And as soon as you get out, you know what? Now you're the cool kid in college. And then you, too, get to do a podcast.
I know. And it goes back and forth. It's just like, you know, high school sucks. But guess what? It all sucks.
Yeah. Right.
Being an adult's really hard. And so what you got to do is you got to fucking gum up.
You got
to
gum up.
And be ready
up.
To do it. And it's like, but college is a lot of fun.
Yeah,
college
just get
great.
To college and have a great time.
Yeah,
and then of course check out the great hot dogs at Auschwitz.
Oh, I hear they've got many a mustard.
Oh yeah,
which is weird because that's so German. you know, because most of those monsters were probably sampled by Hitler himself.
Probably, probably. Right, well. Man, and again, I know we mentioned it in the last episode, but thank you guys so much. It's been an amazing year. Could not be happier. And it's been really fun to get to know everybody.
Yeah, and 2015 is going to fucking be Satan's year. It's Satan's year.
Yep.
It is.
Every year we're closer.
Hail yourselves, everybody.
Hail me.
And if you live in the UK, remember that tickets are on sale now at gigsandtours.com. Just search for Last Podcast on the Left to see if we're coming to a city near you. And even if we're not, take the bus, take the train.
Honestly.
Come and see us.
It's going to be such a fun time. We're all going to hang out.
Go ahead and buy your tickets now. Yeah. And
we're
going to
have
sure
a blast. It's going to be fucking awesome. I can't wait.
Oh, I can't wait either, man. We've got a lot of cool shit planned for you. And be sure to go to iTunes and subscribe. And leave comments, rate us. And
rate all the shows on Cave Comedy Radio on iTunes. It helps us, you know, get up there. And I think last month there was 5 or 6 shows in the top 100.
We had four shows in the top 200 of iTunes. It was fantastic. Go to cavecomedyradio.com for more shows with me and Ben. I also do a couple of shows with Henry's sister Jackie.
Page 7 is fantastic.
Thank you, Henry. Page 7 is our celebrity gossip show.
Mm-hmm.
And be sure, if you haven't got your Last Podcast on the Left t-shirt just yet, go to cavecomedyradio.com/lastpodcastontheleft. And if you donate $25 domestic or $40 international, you can get your very own Last Podcast on the Left t-shirt.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
And of course, the Facebook page is always there as well for those that have listened but are not a part of it. It's insanity. So just be prepared. All of the there's a top hat page. Every page is insane.
Yeah.
But it's fun.
We got over 3,000 people on the on the Facebook page and on the Last Podcast Facebook page now. So thanks everyone for all that you contribute. Heil Gein.
Mm-hmm. Hail Satan.
When Zuckerberg was creating Facebook, he said, one day there's going to be a really creepy page on here. It's going to be totally perfect.
Make constellations.
We'll talk to you soon, everyone.
Happy 2015, you fuckers.
Yeah.
For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to cavecomedyradio.com.